time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And in studio this morning, we have Wes Collins and possibly Cecil joining us in a few minutes. But Wes, good morning.
Good morning, Lockwood.
We've been talking about homeowners associations, and I'm really fascinated by that. I know we were going to just sort of cast around for some thoughts on issues in general, but I want to ask you a few questions about HOAs here for a few moments.
Okay.
Now, HOAs are allowed by state law.
That's right. They're set up normally through a set of documents where we're dealing with the bylaws, we're mm-hmm. dealing with covenants, and basically they're mm-hmm. designed to create some uniformity of management and control as it relates to, multiple individual property units. Like it could be, a subdivision such as Brandywine or Gull Harbor or, Fairfield Harbor, any of these type subdivisions where obviously the lots and the houses there are owned individually, but the roads are usually shared, mm-hmm. usually owned by the homeowners association. There's usually contribution to maintaining those. There's usually common areas. There's an electric bill every month that comes for the, obviously for the homeowners association, roads, street lights, those type things. Could be tennis courts, pools, those type things, that are more common areas as opposed to owned privately.
And we're seeing more and more homeowners associations because of just the suburbanization of the country.
Right. Like we talked about last week, really when you see a new neighborhood crop up, it's almost always.
It's a rarity that it's not a homeowner.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Two issues. The one I want to focus on here is the experience that homeowners face when they experience a crisis. You brought up my thought is related to homeowners association. It's allowed under state law. You mentioned, and in essence, it's its own authority.
Right.
Within the boundaries of, I guess, the municipality or the community in which it's located, a county.
That's true, yeah.
All right. Then you have contributions. You use the word contributions as opposed to a tax. Now, in a county, you're paying taxes for the roadways
right.
and access points and things of this nature. But in a homeowners association, is that counted as a tax or is it –
how do you distinguish the two?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great comparison, Lockwood. When you're talking about a non-homeowners association property, a non-subdivision, so let's say the road is owned by the municipality. Well, mm-hmm. then you're paying your taxes every year, and you're relying upon that municipality to make sure your road stays in good shape. So that's a good comparison. So let's compare that to a subdivision that has its own road.
Right.
If the road goes and falls into disrepair – then, there's not any municipality who's going to swing in using your tax dollars to fix that. So there has to be some plan put in place because, as we know, roads are expensive. Mm-hmm. If we have to repave an entire road, incredibly expensive.
Right.
So we're relying upon really ourselves through our homeowners association to make sure that we're planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So those dues are paid in, usually on an annual basis, sometimes on a quarterly basis or even a monthly basis, just depending on what your governing documents state. And the dues, hopefully are being saved for the rainy day.
Right.
And usually there would be a road fund or there would be potentially, a sewage treatment mm-hmm. fund, that type thing. But the difference between, of course, paying taxes and then the government basically taking care of our road and paying dues and the association taking care of our road is just that we're relying upon ourselves, our neighbors, our homeowners association, our board of directors to make sure we are looking out in the future so that we have enough saved up to cover those expenses. Because my goodness, if our roads fall in disrepair, then our property values go down. We don't want that.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to the role of municipalities and counties insofar as saying to a homeowners association, your situation is untenable. can the municipality, the county, step in and force the homeowners association? We've got a caller standing by, Crystal in Jacksonville.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering if the counties can step in and, if you will, override a homeowners association. I'm curious about that. But let's go to Crystal. And just to remind you, and thank you, Crystal, for calling in, toll free 800-818-2255 if you want to call in for to ask a question or make a comment. 910-353-4674 in the 252 area code 247-7282. Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins here with us this morning. Crystal, good morning.
Good morning. I do have a question. We do live in a fairly new housing development here in Jacksonville that has a homeowners association. Before we bought our home, we, of course, read over the HOA guidelines, and there was one that really stood out to me that kind of bothered us. We did ask our real estate agent to please check into it, and that is that it said no street parking. Mm. And we said to our real estate agent, look, everybody has visitors over. Everybody has guests at special times of the year. We've got family that comes in. Is this going to be a problem? And they came back to us and said, look, the odd time that you have guests over for a party or if you have family, there shouldn't be a problem. And for the first 2 years that we lived here, people were allowed to park on the street, but the Homeowners Association, whom, from what I understand at this point, is run by one person, not a board, but this one man who is the owner of the development, has really put the clampers on. He kept sending us emails to everybody in the development stating, this is not my law, this is a county law, and as soon as you're turned over to the county, well, then you're going to be in trouble. So one of the other homeowners went to the county and found out that is not true at all. The no parking is not a county ordinance. And so this man, one night, my parents and my sister and brother-in-law were here from Canada, and we got woke up at 1 a.m. in the morning, and they were about to tow my dad's car and my brother-in-law's car, and they started towing, and people were having to pay $150 to get their car back. So my question is, can they put in an ordinance like that that is not even a county ordinance?
That's a great question. I've dealt with that situation multiple times before. I'm just interested about this. It's Crystal, right? Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you. So is this a one-way in, one-way out subdivision? Meaning, is there only one way to get in and out of the subdivision, or are there more than one outlet? Is there more than one outlet?
Right now, there's only one, but they're expanding, and there's another one coming.
Okay. And tell me about the width of the streets. Is it a typical size width of a street, or is it a little bit narrower than what you would normally expect?
You know, the main street through is wider than you would normally expect.
Right.
But in front of our home, it's what you would expect.
Okay. Well, Crystal, I have seen situations where in order to get a subdivision approved, the planning board, the county basically imposes certain restrictions to make sure that the subdivision complies with the local ordinances. Now, I don't know if that's what's happened here in Jacksonville or Onslow County as it relates to the subdivision, but it could be that the developer was required to put a restriction in the covenants limiting parking on the street due to the width of the road. Now, I don't know that. Now, let me back up just a little bit. As it relates to that restriction and whether that is something that is enforceable, of course, we have to look at the covenants and we have to look at the actual restriction. Because if the restriction says something like, you can't park on the street, period, well, that's pretty black and white. You can't park on the street, period. But if it says you can only park on the street during certain periods of time and no longer than 24 hours, those kind of things, then that's the limit of the restriction. So, again, we always look back at our governing documents to make a determination as to what that restriction will be. So to answer your question, though, that type of restriction certainly can be put in covenants and can be enforced. And the way to enforce that would be through towing. You could do that because it would be technically a trespass in the event that there's parking on the street and that's not allowed in the covenants. Or there could be the attempt to impose fines on anyone or any property owner who is allowing their friends, family to park on the street. Now, so at the face of it, on the face of it, I would say that, yes, there can be such a restriction put in the covenants. I would say sometimes municipalities do impose such a restriction because they're wanting this subdivision to comply with their subdivision ordinance, and they're needing to do that before they're going to approve the subdivision. However, once that's done, I can't tell you that the county or the municipality who has required that restriction really cares that much about it. Normally, they, once it's approved, they're not in the business of the subdivision. The basically, you're governing yourself. So I would say that that is all true. Now, with that being said, I would also say that there's usually a certain level of reasonableness that is applied to any restriction on real property or restriction within a subdivision. And in cases I've dealt with where this parking along the street has been an issue, normally there's been some discussion by the homeowners association with the property owners, and there's been, you know, a happy medium found where, you know, maybe there can only be parking of a couple of cars, or just if you're having people over one night just for a short period of time, something like that. It's normally not so draconian as, you know, if you park your car there, it's going to be gone the next morning. Now, I understand you're just dealing with the developer, and he's the guy calling the shots here. So we would also have to look at how many lots have been purchased out there and how many the developer still owns for the possibility of being able to amend the covenants by a vote. You'd have to look at the covenants and see how many votes you would need in order to amend those. And perhaps the amendment could be something like there's no parking on the street more than, you know, a 24-hour period of time or something like that. But if you could garner enough support to amend the covenants by a proper vote, then that could be done even without the developer's vote. But if the developer's still, let's say, majority owner, then you're not going to be able to do that until enough properties are purchased up to get the votes.
That's the question I wanted to ask, and Chris will stay with us for a quick moment here. You've got, she said, the homeowner, the developer is the homeowners association right now. Where in the HOA documents, the covenants that you were looking at, Crystal, and this goes back to something that Cecil and Wes have talked about in the past, and you very astutely paid close attention to your covenants. I'm impressed with that, that you saw this one line and it concerned you. But Wes, well, here's my question for you, Crystal. Do you actually have a homeowners board by any chance? Do you actually have a board of directors, or is it just one person?
From what I understand, it's just the owner of the development right now, and apparently he is going to be the sole owner until he sells X number more properties, which could be several years down the road, because they're still doing a lot of development here.
Right. Well, so I would say for the short term, what you would need to do, or any good attorney looking at your or documents, would be just that. Let's look very closely at the bylaws. Let's look at the covenants. Let's look at this restriction. Why was this restriction imposed? Was it imposed by the municipality in order to get the subdivision approved? And in the event that we're able to review those documents closely, then we may be able to find an angle to basically create some reasonableness in the enforceability of this. It seems like the developer is more concerned about the municipality's requirement of this parking on the side of the road than anything else. And in the event that can be softened up a little bit with the municipality's help and support, then, you know, that could be a win-win. But I think we need to go back to the documents in order to come up with a resolution.
Crystal, thank you. Go ahead. Can you stay with us for a second, Crystal, if you've got more questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We've got to go to a quick break here. Crystal in Jacksonville joining us this morning here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. If you have a call or question, feel free to call in 910-353-4674, 252, area code 247-7282, that toll-free number 800-818-2255. Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station, FM 107 AM 1240 with Harvell and Collins. And just to remind you, the right advice at the right time, their phone number, I just want to mention this, at harvellandcollins.com, 726-9050. We've got just a few moments. I'm going to have to go back to another break, but I want to get Crystal back in the conversation. Crystal, did we answer all your questions a moment ago?
Yeah, you did. I just had one last comment, and that was some people in the division, what they've done to help with the number of vehicles that they have for their household is they've expanded their driveway.
Right.
They put in an extra pad. Well, that one night that they woke us up at 1 a.m., my dad was parked beside, as if there was another pad, but it was lawn because we have not expanded. And the guy told the tow truck driver, said, I'll leave that one here tonight, but it better be gone tomorrow night. So they're not even allowing us, when we've got extra, to park on our lawn beside our driveway.
Wow. All right.
Well, I don't think that that's right. I mean, we would, again, have to look back at the covenants. Is there a restriction on parking a car in your yard? Probably not. There's probably not any restriction on parking a vehicle in your yard. It's just only on the road. So in the event that the association or the developer attempts to try to tow a car that is legally parked, then he's going to bring some liability upon himself by doing that. So, but again, I think we have to go back to the governing documents. Let's take a look at what they say. Let's take a look at why this restriction was imposed. And in the event that we can soften that restriction in some way so that we can all live with it, that's where we need to go.
Thanks very much, Crystal. Appreciate the call on this one. Thank you. All right. We've got Wes Collins here in the studio as we have got a few moments left in the program. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Talking about homeowners associations with Wes Collins, and I'm fascinated by this, and I was just chatting with Wes. The question I have, and really kind of applies to Crystal's comment earlier, and that is homeowners associations, we've got leadership in the owners association. All of a sudden, and we won't have time to discuss this, but you've got a roadway that needs repair. The homeowners are involved in a dispute. They don't want to repair the road. Can the city step in and say to the homeowners association, you've got to maintain the road?
Well, the key word in that question is, can the city do that? Can.
Yeah.
I'm not certain off the top of my head whether they can, but I can tell you that the likelihood would be they won't. Why would they do that? Why would they? First of all, they don't have any legal authority that I'm aware of to come into a homeowners association who owns its own private roads and say, you have to do this, you have to do that. Okay. Now, on the other side of that, I mean, obviously, typically homeowners associations are going to take care of themselves with regard to
that.
And I can tell you the city, town, whatever, they're certainly not going to spend taxpayers' money on a private road. They don't have any right to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Right.
Politically, it's crazy.
Yeah. Right. So sometimes associations find themselves in a place where they have a huge expense they didn't know about. It could be, like we talked about, it could be a road issue. And that road issue might be something that just comes up because of erosion or because of,
unforeseen type of unforeseen failure, something.
Water related, you know, that kind of thing. And it could be a huge expenditure. You could have, as we talked about, sewage treatment. You could have, any, you know, dock repair, which is not an emergency typically, but I mean, you know, a hurricane could come in and take your dock out.
Right.
You know, typically you can't get insurance for that. You know, you've got
what?
These
no dock insurance.
You, you got these kind of expenses. Right. So, I mean, the way the association has to deal with that is you look back to your covenants and you impose a special assessment. That means, hey, everybody's got to come up with, say, $5,000, $10,000 right now. So we can talk about that next week.
Right advice at the right time, Harvell and Collins. This is-